be asking interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. Do want to wish all of the fathers a very happy Father's Day. And this is a day to especially remember the fathers. And I want to thank the young people and the wives and mothers and grandmothers that made breakfast for all of us today. That was very nice. And you all are the ones that make this a special day for those of us that are fathers and grandfathers, because it's because you children, it's because of you that we are who we are too. So we just appreciate what you've done for all of us today and trust the Lord will bless us all and appreciate the families this morning. I trust that God will bless every home here in the congregation. I'd like to turn to a familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Ezekiel in the 22nd chapter. God was speaking to His prophet Ezekiel concerning the house of Israel. In verse 1, He said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations." And He went on to say in verse 6, He said, "Behold, the princes of Israel, every one, were in thee to their power to shed blood." Now, He was bringing about judgment on Israel, and He began to give a list through this chapter of the reasons why He was going to send judgment. And He said that every prince that was there, He said, "Every one were in thee to their power to shed blood." Verse 8, He said, "Thou hast despised my holy things. Thou hast profaned my Sabbaths." Verse 26, it says, "Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither show difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I have profaned them." So here, you know, I've just skipped through, but He addressed the princes. They were just out committing, they were killing, they were committing acts of that were atrocious acts in not regarding other people's life. And so that's why He said it was a bloody city. It was because they were there, and then He said, the priests, they violated my law. The priests who should have been the ones teaching God's word, He said, you made no difference between what's right and wrong. You just profane my holy things. And then He speaks here of the prophets in verse 28. He said, her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. So here are the prophets that are supposed to be telling God's word, and they're saying, well, the Lord has shown me this, and God had nothing to do with it. Some of us were speaking before service about some false prophets who are still doing that today. God has shown me this, and it's not God speaking. God will never reveal something that is contrary to His word. He's always, when God works and speaks through His prophets, it's going to be in line with what the Scripture teaches. And so then we see this city that the princes are out committing murder, doing whatever they can to amass wealth to themselves. We see the priests that are not making a difference between right and wrong. And we see the prophets are saying that God told them things that He didn't see for the purpose of self-gain and recognition. And so God's judgments were on the city. So then in verse 30, God said, I sought for a man among them. I sought for a man among the princes. I sought for a man among the priests. I sought for a man among the prophets that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I was looking for someone. I was looking for a man. Do you know that God has a special call to men today? We live in a society that is trying to break down the walls between male and female. And people are having these gender identity, what they call a crisis, or come make a decision. There's one of the public schools that is trying to have a special time with the kindergarten age children to decide whether they want to be a boy or a girl. I could tell them real quickly if they're a boy or a girl. But our world is trying to break down the barriers physically, emotionally, in the role and the function that God created them to fill. God has given men a place to fill. And God was not looking, there are some scriptures that are gender neutral. And sometimes it may say man and it's speaking to mankind, to men and women alike. But in light of the scriptural teaching of the authority and the line of authority that God gave, I believe He was looking for a man here. I believe He was looking for a man to stand in the gap before the people and saying, Lord, I'm living righteously before You. Would You please not destroy the city? Do you know that God is still looking for men this morning to be standing in the gap? And I just want to acknowledge, I am so thankful for men here this morning that are standing in the gap. This is not a message of judgment on us, the hearers, but it is a message to encourage and challenge us that the Lord is still looking for people to stand in the gap. And the world is trying to steal from men, if you will, the God-given function and role that they have in the home and in the church. And the Lord is looking for men who will be godly, who will stand in the gap that our society has created. God's judgments were poured out on Israel because He could not find any man that was standing firm and true. In 2003, Hurricane Isabel slammed into the east coast of the United States, and the edges of it went through Washington, D.C. And there were 16 died, 6 million homes lost power. And when it went through this, like I said, the edges of it went through Washington, D.C., the president and many of Congress were looking for a safe haven. They were looking for a place to go, safe quarters. But at Arlington National Cemetery, where the guards stand at the tomb of the unknown soldier, just as they had done every day since July 1st, 1937, when the hurricane hit, the soldiers remained at their post, even though they had been given permission to seek shelter. That's what a soldier does. He acknowledges the storm. He acknowledges the danger, but he stands firm at his post of duty. There is one man that said, if those men can stand guard over the dead, how much more important is it that we stand guard over the living, our wives and our children? Do you know those soldiers when the storm was there? And probably many of you have been there, maybe. I've been there and seen that. And in one sense, you could say, why are they doing? They're standing there out of respect. They're standing there out of respect. In spite of a storm that could have taken their life, they made a purpose that we are not moving. We are standing here out of respect, and it doesn't matter how bad the storm gets. I'm touched by that. But I am more touched by men this morning who, when things get tough, stick it out. Who, when things get rough in the home, do not run. When your children make you want to just throw your hands in the air and say, I can't do it, and you stay strong. When things are difficult financially and physically and emotionally, and there are still men that say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be right here, and I'm going to stand at my post of duty. Folks, God is looking for that today. It is easier to run when the storm comes. It is easier to leave our post of duty. It's easier on the flesh. But duty compels us this morning as men. Duty calls for us, and God is the one that called us to that duty. When things are difficult, don't give up. Don't give in. When your wife and when your family members and when others in the congregation may let down and want to give up, the Lord is looking for some men who will be found standing in the gap. My parents may pressure me to go this way. My grandparents may have gone that direction. My wife may be saying, well, I think I'd rather do this over here, and I want to give up on this truth. The Lord is looking for men that in love will tell their wife, this is the way we are going to walk in it by the grace of God. When others in the congregation or in the body may be going a way of compromise the world, that there would be some men that would stand in the gap and say, I'm not changing because God's word has not changed. There will be storms and pressures and influences that are tough. And it is easier to go along with the crowd. It's easier to go along with what other people are doing, the path of least resistance. But the Lord is looking today for some princes and some prophets and some priests. He's looking for some men to stand in the gap and say, Lord, we will not bow down to the image of the king. We're not going to bow down. Lord, help us this morning. We have responsibility. Because it's not about saying, well, a true man will stand and fight. But you know, a true man will stand for what is right in humility and in truth. Because see, true masculinity this morning is not about how tall you are. It's not about how deep your voice is. It's not about how long you can hold a cow down or how far you can throw the basket and make it. That's not the definition of true manhood or masculinity this morning. True manhood is about the ability to stand true, controlling the passions, controlling anger, controlling the temptations that would draw on the passions of the flesh. A real man is one that will stand and say, I will not do it by God's help. That's true manhood. It is about sacrifice. A true man is one that knows how to humble themselves. A true man is one that will walk in godliness. The world would say, oh, well, you're just a wimp. You're following this way of humility and godliness. Stand up and be a man. Do you know more people are following after that path of least resistance to the world? You want to talk about manhood, it's about standing up and being different. And if you want to be different and be a real man this morning, you follow Jesus Christ and you will be different. And I say this morning not to take away from the God's place for the females this morning, but if you want to be a real man, and I'm talking to the men and boys this morning, you want to be a real man, you follow Jesus Christ. You will face storms and opposition, but stand at your post. Don't give up and don't let down. True masculinity and manhood is about sacrificing someone that does not cave to the feelings of the moment. I feel. What do feelings have to do with our decisions in serving the Lord? What do feelings have to do with truth? Yes, we do have feelings. But duty rises above feelings. I don't always feel like doing what I do. You don't either. The children spoke of their fathers. I know the fathers don't always feel like doing the work they do. But it's not about feeling. It's about duty. It's about responsibility that when I don't feel like it, I'm still going to do it. If we would have that mentality with our work and with serving God, do you know the Lord's going to look around and He's going to find some men standing in the gap? We live in a world that people don't even want to stay on a job very long. People are moving from one job to the other. Well, it got a little bit tough. Well, be a man. You know, I mean, that's kind of the instinctive response. Well, I'm tired. Well, be a man. It's time to grow up. It's time to recognize it's not all about, you know, ease. It's not all about just collecting the paycheck at the end of the week. A lot of things we do, you don't get money at the end of the week. It's about doing your duty and doing it because God's called you to do it. So, young men and boys this morning, be a man. It's not about how you feel. It's about doing your responsibility. Stand in the gap. Because Micah 6:8, the scripture says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Does that sound like manhood? Walking humbly? Well, I'll tell you what, it doesn't take a lot of strength to give in to the first thing that comes to your mind, does it? First thing that comes to your mouth to say, your mind to say, it doesn't take anything. Just let it come out. But it takes strength of character that can control the passions and the mind. The scripture says, and we're going to, you know the scripture, but I wanted to speak about standing in the gap as a provider and as a protector. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Do you know that that's pretty strong language? You want to talk about manhood? It's not about how much weight you can lift. He said the function of the father and the husband was to provide for his wife and his children. Young men, and I know there's just a few of you young ones, but I want to impress this upon you. It is your responsibility when you have your wife and your family to provide for them. It doesn't matter how difficult life may be, the Lord's called us to stand up and provide for our family. It doesn't matter how high we can jump and how high our testimony is. He said, if you don't provide for your children, you are worse than someone that doesn't even believe in God. That's pretty strong language. That's strong enough to get someone in trouble for preaching it sometimes. But that's what the scripture says. I looked for a man. And do you know this is one of the problems in our country? I want to give you some statistics, and it's not meant to be an indictment. I want to say this before I share some of these statistics. God is a statistic breaker, okay? So if you are in one of these places, or you came from one of these places, or you are working with children or people from these places, God is a statistic breaker. When you allow God to be king of your life, it doesn't matter what statistics come from the world. Through Christ, we can overcome. But it also, we wonder what's wrong with our country. This is one of the things that's wrong with our country. 19.7 million children. Out of those, more than one in four live without a father in the home in America. One in four, 25%, do not have a man in their life standing in the gap. Children raised without that father figure. Adolescent boys are more likely to engage in delinquency, more likely to experience behavioral problems. And that's just common sense, isn't it? I mean, it follows. Children are two times more likely to suffer from obesity that do not have a father in the home. Girls are seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. They are two times more likely to drop out of school. They are 279% more likely to carry guns and deal drugs, and four times more likely to live in poverty. And we wonder why our nation is in the condition that it's in. When 23 to 25% of children do not have a man to stand in the gap. And I want to give honor where honor is due this morning. For those that have been standing in the gap for children that are not your own, may God bless you for standing in the gap. Grandfathers, grandmothers, but it is a blessing when there is someone that will say, I'm going to stand in the gap for them. The Lord has called us to be providers for our family. He's called for us to be a protector. How many true men, when they hear something, a noise that's not right in the house, look over and say, honey, would you go check that out? I think someone's breaking in. You know, our families, our children, husbands and fathers, our family, our wives and our children should feel the security of our presence. And not only is it providing for them, it is being there with them to, if you'll allow me to quote you all this morning, Tessa, but if it just means dad saying, just, it's okay, you don't have a unibrow. I'm serious. Just to have someone there. To have someone there that they can know that when I'm struggling, there is a man in my life, and I call him dad, that is there, that's going to be there to love me and care for me. And when my world is crumbling down around me, I know that my dad is there to shelter me and shield me and love me in spite of everything else. Do you know, husbands, this is what our wife needs as well. That our wife is not, that we are not part, that we do not contribute to the instability that this world is bringing. It is amazing to me, and it's not just in the world, it's in the church. And I have no stones to throw because I went through a very difficult place a number of years ago. But there is, it's amazing to me the amount of emotional stresses that people are struggling with in this generation. And it is meaningful to have someone in your life in those times that is not going to run, but they're going to be there to be a support and a strength. So husbands, our wives need, they need to know, with all of the other uncertainties in life, I don't have to worry about wondering, is my husband going to be there? Is he going to come home tomorrow? Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. It is the role and function of a man to be the head of the home. Any corporation or business that's going to run successfully, there has to be someone that's ahead. It's not about male dominance this morning. You see, that's where the enemy takes this too far and starts twisting this thing. It's not about male dominance, but it is about providing leadership. That when there finally comes to a place, a decision needs to be made, and there's a difference of opinion, it is the man's role and God-given function to provide that leadership. And young ladies, if you can't respect the man that you are considering maybe marrying down the road, if you can't respect him enough to say, you know what, I will honor your leadership, and I will submit to that, you have no business being married. And men, young men, when it gets to the time you might be married, if you can't give of yourself as Christ gave himself to the church, you can't give and be considerate of your wife's feelings. It's not about saying, well, I'm the head of the home, we're going to do what I want, what feels good. No, that was the problem with the princes and the priests and the prophets. They were doing things selfishly. But a true man of God is going to say, honey, what do you think about it? What are your thoughts? How is this going to affect you in making a decision that is not just best for me, but is this best for our home and for our family? And we're going to go step further for the church. Making decisions that are not selfish based. Providing security financially, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Loving them as Christ loved the church. He's looking for men to stand in the gap. And I just want to challenge us this morning. Provide that leadership in your homes. Family worship is not just a mother's thing to do. It's something that our children need to see that dad is taking time for family worship. It's the time to teach our children what the Bible teaches. And if dad's always too busy and dad's excuses, well, I'm just trying to provide a living. You might bring the money in, but your children need your time as much as they need a dollar for a meal. You see, so there's this balance that we have to find this balance, you know, because I see some people neglecting their wife and children, and they do it saying, well, I'm just trying to provide a living. What are you complaining about? Our children need our time as much as they need our money. You see, so, and I'll just, well, there's so much can be said about this, but set an example of prayer. Well, Dad never prays. Never heard really, don't hear Dad pray very much. Do you know the Lord wants us to change that then? If our children don't hear us pray often, then we can change that by the help of the Lord. Someone to stand in the gap. Is it just, are we going to service if Mom says we're going, or is Dad setting the spiritual leadership in the home? Say, pack up children, we're on our way to service. Why are we going today? Because it's Sunday. Why are we going tonight? Because it's Wednesday. There's service. God's people are getting together. It's for the man to carry that authority and that leadership to step up to the plate. Correcting children. Do you know it takes Mom and Dad working together to correct the children? Husbands, I'll tell you one thing. Fathers, it was one thing. Well, there's more than one thing. But one thing my dad did not tolerate, and I hope my children can say the same thing, is if I even half look disrespectfully to my mom. I mean, I didn't have to say a word. If I got that little wrong look in my eye, we're done. Finished. Or actually, it was just getting started. It was something that it was a place of authority in the home that my dad was going to step up and fill that place. And I know sometimes as fathers that we have to be careful, maybe that we're not too hard. But I want to tell moms and wives something this morning. God gave fathers and husbands for a reason. And sometimes there's a place that, no, it's not about compassion. It is about judgment. It is about discipline so that it doesn't happen again. And it might be a little harder than you might like, and it may make you shed a tear too, but God gave men for a reason in the home. And so I know sometimes we balance each other out. See, that's why we work together. That's why husbands, wives. But wives, here's just a little caution. Be real careful before you intervene when your husband is correcting your children. God put them there for a reason. Isn't there so much more that could be said about all these things? But the Lord's looking for someone to stand in the gap. And I do plan to get to the, almost out of Nebraska tonight, so I will be sitting down soon. Do you know men are affected by women? We'd be naive to say that we're not. Happened in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Adam was affected by his wife's mindset to do wrong. And I have something to say to Adam. He should have been a man. He wasn't. You understand what I'm saying? He should have stood in the gap and said, Eve, I'll listen to you. What do you have to say? You're okay, but we're not doing that because God said it's wrong. Eve, we're not doing this. It's wrong. There are too many men this morning that are being, in our world, that are being impacted by their wives' inclination to go the way of the world. Now, I'm speaking to the body of Christ now. The Lord wants us as men not to cater to worldliness. The Lord wants us as men not to glorify worldliness. If my wife came in a way, looking in a way that was worldly, I don't want to glorify that or say, honey, that's really pretty. I'm not going to say it. I want her to know that I believe holiness is beautiful. I want her to grow up, my girl. But I want my wife to know that, and my girls, I want them to know that holy is beautiful and it's right. Godliness is the best way to go. I don't want something else. But if more men would stand up and set that, those parameters in their home, and I know that there are people that there are wayward children, there are wayward wives, and there are wayward husbands. But the Lord is looking for men to stand in the gap and set that standard of holiness in the home. And if your wife tries to draw you a different direction, I want to remind us of our God-given place. honey, I don't want to go this way. I want to follow the Lord. I want to be faithful. I want to be steadfast. And I'm going to, there's another point that I'd like to bring out. We'll just have a few more minutes. Leadership in the church. And I, there's a lot that could be said about this. It is true this morning that there is, to my knowledge, there was no woman that wrote a book in the Bible. Now, we have the book of Ruth and Esther, but they didn't write it. It's about them. They were written by men, inspired by the Holy Ghost. It is also true that the 12 disciples were men. And some would say, well, it wouldn't have been appropriate for a woman. That's a stretch. Because there were women with Christ and with the disciples often throughout the Gospels. So there could have been provision made. So it's noteworthy that in the Scripture, there were women that were used of God. We don't want to cover, we're not trying to detract from that. Women were used of God mightily. The message of the resurrection was taken by a woman, a wonderful message that Jesus is alive. But it is also just as true that the primary positions of leadership in the early morning church were filled by men. But what would we think this morning if we, if you went to service and it was only women singing and only women testifying and only women praying? Do you know what would be easy to sit back and say? Huh, the women are really taking over the service. Wouldn't that be a natural, an easy response to that? Say they're taking over. But why would it appear that they're taking over if there were men that were standing in the gap? It doesn't mean the women shouldn't, I mean, the women should pray and sing and testify. They should. But if it starts looking like that it's just all women, then I think that says more about what the men aren't doing than what the women are doing. The Lord is calling us as brethren to stand in the gap, to provide the spiritual leadership in the church, to provide that leadership, because if we don't do our job in the home or in the body of Christ, folks, we don't have a lot of room to be displeased when the women are just trying to survive and get by, sometimes filling places that really is your job and my job. Is that an amen? The Lord wants us as brethren to set the tone of praise and worship in our services. Renee and I have talked about this before. It's sometimes, you know, it feels like, well, if a woman says it, it's like everybody hears this woman, it's like, oh, it's just these women. But do you know what happens if men? If men are praising and worshiping as we're called to, the women aren't going to stand out like that. Everything's just going to blend together harmoniously. You see the difference? So my message isn't telling the women to be quiet today. If that's what you're going to go away with, you missed it. What I'm telling the brethren today is the Lord's looking for us to stand in the gap. I'm sorry. I've been having some issues in my head. In closing this morning, who are the young men supposed to look to for an example? Who are our young men supposed to look to? Who are they to learn from the ways of God? If the boys do not see the princes and the priests and the prophets praying and on their knees and offering sacrifice to God, if they do not see them standing for truth, they see none of them forsaking the wealth of this world to exclusively follow Jesus, then what do we expect from the young men? And that's exactly what the Lord was telling the prophet when he said, you know what, the priests weren't doing their job, the princes weren't, and the prophets weren't. And he said, I couldn't find anybody to stand in the gap. So I want to encourage us today to keep standing. I appreciate those that are standing. let's keep standing. Let's follow the Lord. So let's stand in the gap so we can prove to the world that there is such a thing as a true man. That we can prove to those that say, and I've heard too many women say, there are just no good men. Let's prove to those women that there are still some good men. Let's prove to them by the way we live that there are still honorable men and faithful men and godly men. Let's let the church see. Let the body of Christ still see today that there are men that will step up to the plate and serve and lead and set the example. Let the children see this morning that there are still men that will provide and protect. Let's be there with our time and our interest and our love. And may our wives still see today men who sacrifice for her, love her not only by our actions or in a moment or in moments of that special emotion, but they would know we love her by the sacrifice and the words that we speak to her on a daily basis. And most of all, I would encourage us this morning to stand faithful in holiness and in truth so that when God looks for a man to stand in the gap, that He would find us standing. Amen.